Hey everybody, it's Ben and Rob. We're your hosts from Rise.tv, bringing you the answers that will leave you on the edge of wonder.
And right now we might have the answers to one of the biggest questions of our time. Was Jiang Zemin the Antichrist?
It's 0 to 120 in 2 seconds.
Or a reincarnation of Hitler. Well, I guess they lived in the same time period, but some people think that he was just some random Chinese leader who did things, but did you know that he had a secret history that the Chinese Communist Party doesn't want you to know about?
Well, for a deep dive into the Toad's background, his connections, and how he really affected the entire world, join Edge of Wonder for an explosive live show. We'll see you out
on the edge.
All right. How you doing, Ben?
Good. Yeah. Real quick, if you are listening to The Edge of Wonder on our podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating and review so we can keep making these awesome episodes for you guys.
And here's the part of the show where we explained the Toad comment. Why is he called the Toad, Ben?
So Chinese netizens, you know, they call him on who are always on the internet and whatnot. This whole nickname of him, the Toad, actually, I think it's even been going on longer than there was computers, maybe. But everyone says he looks exactly like a toad.
Yeah, so I think the people that are critics of him on, you know, for good reason, online and stuff, they started calling him that a while back, right?
Yeah, they did.
Chinese and otherwise.
Yeah, and there's some very specific photos. I mean, this one, he kind of looks like it, but it's like his nose, too. I mean, there's some that are like, dude, he just really looks like a toad. Like,
he
really
definitely looks
gross person.
Reptilian in nature, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's for sure, man.
You know.
I wouldn't be like surprised if he was.
Well, no, it's just like his, the way he looks, like, actually.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, true reptilian.
Yeah, I mean, not referring to the crazy conspiracy of that, just him in general, you know.
Yeah. Oh man. So it's so weird.
Can you pull that back up? That like doesn't even look like his hand. It looks like somebody else's hand coming into the
small. You're totally right. Dude, his like fingers look, it's like Dr. Evil or something. It's just like his fingers are so crazy, man. He's such a disturbing dude. Yeah, it was so strange. So we had our show Tuesday talking all about China, you know, and then we're like, oh, okay, we'll get into some other stuff today. And then yesterday he dies. And, you know, this is pretty significant because, I mean, ever since we were kind of, I got involved with the Epoch Times, even before that, like I've known about this guy for a long time. Most people over here in the US, you know, we don't really know, the average person doesn't really know what the significance is, or they might know, like, because we talk about it, that he started the persecution of Falun Gong in 1999. And of course we talk about him a lot, and so do a lot of other channels and whatnot, but it's like this dude is like beyond anything that we've seen. I even in some instances more than Hitler, because he had access to things that Hitler didn't, such as technology. So, and the TV and all of it, and the media, you know, Hitler did horrible things and killed a lot of people, millions of people, but he's probably responsible for even like 3 times the amount that Hitler killed. I mean, this, because the persecution, if you think about it, it really affected. Okay, so there was like roughly about 100 million people that were practicing Falun Gong in China when the persecution started from Jiang Zemin. But then you think about it, they have family members, they have friends, you know, and there's people that sympathize with it who probably didn't practice. So realistically, we're talking about one out of every 15 people this persecution affected inside China.
Yeah.
Because
mathematically speaking, those people being affecting everyone, right?
Right, exactly. And this is really, really, I mean, one of the things that, okay, so I was just kind of talking a lot. There's a lot to get into too. But Rob, like, so kind of starting out with, why don't you explain why this is so significant? his death, what the and how this kind of relates to Xi, right? Because the thing is, Xi Jinping and Jiang Zemin have been fighting. There's like this deep state within China, and they have been fighting for control ever since that Xi Jinping took power. So this is kind of interesting because this is
well, when we're I think that the only way to really talk about the significance, like why did we make this a show?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
About what we talked about the CCP on Tuesday. Between that show and today, this guy died. When we're talking about powers in the world here, probably the one of the biggest like powers in the world is the Chinese Communist Party. Okay. And they have their own just crazy control over every other country because of the way that things have been set up in within China and its own back and forth and challenges and difficulties and arguments and conflicts and the crazy things that are going on. The two biggest forces that have been in China for the last 20 years really have been this guy, Jiang Zemin, and then Xi Jinping, who is now the president currently, mm-hmm. and who has been working to decorrupt in a way. But, you know, we're not sure where he's at either. We're not going to criticize him. We're just not really sure where he's at and where he's positioning himself. But we know Jiang Zemin positioned himself very poorly by persecuting the amount of people and the type of people that he persecuted. What's strange is that this comes at a time when there are massive protests within China, and then all of a sudden Jiang Zemin passes away. Yeah. So the powers in China, like it's a very...
Or at
like
least...
If you look at things in terms of like divine arrangements or cosmic mm-hmm. timing, it's very interesting that he died right when these protests are like really, really like sparking all over China.
Yeah.
Right. It almost in a way of the powers that are evil within the Chinese Communist Party, him dying was a big blow, I think, to those. This is my opinion. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it does affect things. I, you know, from one standpoint, Xi Jinping might be happy that this guy passed away, but maybe it's all on Xi. There's no one he can blame anymore. Right?
That's...
Aside from Jiang Zemin's son, who kind of took over the family, you know, mafia, I guess.
Mafia. Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. Well, you know, honestly, I'm actually wondering, because we haven't heard from Jiang in over a year, honestly. And I'm wondering, it's quite possible that somebody, I mean, he might have died. And
we would never have known, right?
We would have never known. And it was just like, okay, now we'll bring this out. You know, there's like kind of like semi not 100% believable conspiracies, but some people even brought up like, you know, there's actually Lindsay, I have a photo of him in this coffin actually that they have and Jiang's body. And some people are like, we don't even know if this is actually his body. And it's like, that is,
where is it?
Kind of true. It was in the, this is it right here. So they put his glasses on him.
Can you zoom in on that photo for us?
Yeah.
I mean, it does look like him.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I mean,
it looks like a wax figure of him,
but that's what people brought up. That is seriously what people brought up. And it's like, you never know, you know, and one thing it's like, because I've been so creepy.
Like the communist flag being draped over someone as their dad, like,
yeah,
it's like a sentence to you know where.
Yeah, dude, it's nuts. It's so weird. And yeah, it was, you know, so it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, I think he probably did die. I'm pretty convinced on that, but the question is, you know, did it happen sooner or later? And was this part of Xi's plan? Was this part of like the Jiang faction's side? But now I'm really seeing like, okay, for example, this guy started the persecution of Falun Gong. Which affected so many people. You have the underground Christians, you still have Uyghurs, and you have the Tibetans all still being persecuted inside China. So now it's like, if Xi Jinping wasn't really for the persecution, now that Zhang, the mastermind of all this, is dead, Xi could just, why doesn't he just come out then and say, okay, we're going to end this persecution because this is all, and then he could just put everything on Zhang.
I think the answer to that is saving face for the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Because they can never be wrong. There's a hard rule within the Chinese Communist Party that you can never admit being wrong. Like, this is the difference between like normal good people and like, I think, someone that's gone too far, right? Is it's like, if you can't admit when you've done something wrong, then what's the point? Like, everybody makes mistakes. It's all right. But why is the Chinese Communist Party always great, glorious, and correct?
Yeah.
No one's great, glorious, and correct. We all make mistakes, big mistakes sometimes. And we have to like be accountable and try to improve. But the kind of Chinese Communist Party lives outside of that. Like, they almost treat itself like it's a deity, and that people have to worship it like it's a god and it can't make a mistake, and whatever choice it makes is like perfect, and that's just not reality.
Yeah. By the way, I wanted to wear my party shirt since he died. So I have my shirt on. Like, I think I'll wear the shirt. Celebrate.
This is bizarre too. Like, these school children sing, like,
it's so weird. So this tweet says, long live the great, glorious, and correct Communist Party of China. I mean, it's just, oh my gosh, this is communism for you. They just say it over and over again.
And you guys might have thought I made that up. No, like, this is a quote that they have. Like, they're always great, glorious, and correct.
That is the ultimate slogan of the party right there. And if they change anything, it's like, well, that's because the party's always correct. So we're always in, like, making changes to ourselves to be more correct. Sure. Okay. Well, okay. So to kind of give you guys some background, you know, like I said, Rob and I have really dived hard. We know so many people from China who've been in campsites, who've been in officials inside China who have resigned and, you know, like, said so many things about what's going on. So Mao Zedong, obviously, he is the one that created the Communist Party, and he literally had a killing quota set.
Well, he didn't. He adopted it, right? He adopted the communism into China.
Well, true. Yeah, he didn't create communism. I'm sorry. Right. Well, he created communism in China, I should say. You know,
well, he adopted communism.
Yeah. Yeah. Adopted it. You're right. Yeah. So,
and he had a really big mole on his chin. He did.
Yes, he did. So, and we, you know, I mean, most of everyone is pretty familiar. We of course, expose all of this in our communism series. So Dao Xiaoping came after Mao. And, you know, like, one of the things that he was doing, he was trying to reverse. I mean, he kind of felt Mao was getting maybe too destructive, especially with the economic policies. So Dao Xiaoping was really the one that, even though it's kind of started with Mao, like, opening up to the West, this guy, Dao Xiaoping, was kind of more for the reforms and openness. It's still within the communist mainframe. So it's not like, it's not a major reform. It's more like, we got to do things behind closed doors now and not so open. Except for when the Tiananmen Square massacre started happening, and Dao Xiaoping brought in, you know, the military and the tanks, and Jiang Zemin was the one that gave the order for the tanks to open fire, and that's why Jiang Zemin got promoted. There's so much about him that he was hiding from the party and from. He wrote autobiography, and it was just full of lies, and we're going to get into that a little bit later. But Zhang set like a basically like a pay to play, and that's how the whole system became even more corrupt, because if anyone didn't want to pay to play, then it's like he either got him out of there or arrested him or whatever it was to. So he knew, like, everybody in power, it was like, if everyone was corrupt as him, it would stabilize that power, basically. And he didn't need to worry about anybody.
Oh, nice photo there. Yeah, that's a great photo. The recently deceased ex-president of China, digging for gold. What are you doing?
He was particularly known for getting caught picking his nose. So much caught, he would do it out in the open.
Let's be politically correct here.
And comb his hair and burst out into a song out of nowhere during a press conference.
Wouldn't it be really funny to watch the video of those, like, girls dancing for the Communist Party and then having photos of Jiang Zemin picking his nose on, like, a Megatron?
So crazy. So funny. Well, so after Jiang Zemin started the persecution in 99, Falun Gong, he held power for a little bit, and then he just got so crazy and extreme that he was kind of pushed out, and then Hu Jintao replaced him. But Hu Jintao is basically a puppet. He didn't do anything at all.
Not much, really.
He didn't do anything.
Was he in the Jiang faction, or?
Well,
he came in and stayed for a very short time and then was, like, out, you know?
Well, he stayed from 2002 up until about 2010. Then
so 8 years.
Yeah, when Xi Jinping took over. But, you know, Wen Jiabao, who was the vice premier or wherever it is, it's like the vice president standard person. He seemed to be a really good person, but they just seemed to be so afraid to do anything. Especially move against Jiang. They just didn't have the power to move against Jiang. So even though Jiang stepped down, he was all in control. And, like, to give you a perfect example of this, there was a lot of flooding in the 2000s in China. There's massive earthquakes, all kinds of stuff. And every time Hu Jintao would send aid over to that city or that area. Oh, by the way, that was Wen Jiabao that Lindsay had. Whenever, like, Hu Jintao would be like, okay, let's send, you know, help over there, we'll have aid, the military or whatever, Jiang Zemin would make a phone call and say, don't go until 3 days later. And then, you know, Hu Jintao's like, why aren't you guys going over there? And they're like, well, we're on our way. And then 3 days later, they would show up and so many people would be dead. And then it would look bad on Hu Jintao, because it's like, you didn't respond right away. You let all these people die. And in reality, it was like Jiang interfering with all this. This is, like, how evil this guy is. So again, like, Hu Jintao just wasn't very public about this because I think he was afraid. I think it could have been multiple reasons, but that's why he was just being controlled the whole time. And he didn't do anything at all during his time. And there was really nothing memorable about what he was doing. And then Xi Jinping came in. I think the big, Rob, like, the other really big question, we're going to get into the Antichrist here in a minute too, and actually we kind of did a whole show on this, but what do you think is, like, how do you think the political landscape of the world politics, like, do you think this is going to change anything?
I think that the things that are going on in China right now are definitely affecting the world landscape. Putting Xi in the lime more in the light in China. The protests that are coming up, the zero COVID policy, I think it's leading to only one thing, which is the CCP dissolving, you know, very soon. And by very soon, I mean, it could be anywhere from tomorrow to a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And that will definitely affect everything. I mean, all like the way that all the countries work. I mean, look at kind of like what the Russia war is doing right now. It's like it's affecting petroleum, right? It's affecting like several other things. And China being the factory of the world and everyone exporting everything to these different countries and relying on these different countries, you know, it has an effect on things, a big one. So I definitely think that whatever happens to China is definitely going to, like, think about what that's going to do to commerce. Like, you know, if they pick up and start something new really quickly and it's not communism, it's a transition or whatever, it might not affect things too much. I mean, but it could. I mean, it could affect things greatly and it'll affect everybody's economies like an enormous amount with all the factories being in China, you know?
I know. Yeah. And that's the big thing, you know, and that's where, because there's been this power struggle, but the other aspect is we don't really know how long or how long like kind of Jiang Zemin's been out of the scene. You know, it looks like, I mean, they've been talking about his health has been failing for years now, you know, and Hu Jintao did make up a rumor that he died. And this was right before Xi Jinping took over. So I think this was around like the Olympics, maybe right after the Olympics in China in 2008. So maybe 2009-ish or something. And there was a rumor that Jiang Zemin died. And he wasn't seen in the public for like a long time. I would say almost a year. And it forced Jiang Zemin to come out and be public. And he looked really weak. He had to have kind of help and stuff. So his health has been failing him, and they said he died of leukemia and organ failure, which is so ironic since he's the one that started organ harvesting. He probably has like so many, he probably had so many organ transplants.
Oh yeah.
Like so many. I mean, I can't,
you mean Zhang died of that, right, Ben?
Yeah. Zhang died of that. What they're saying is organ failure, multiple organ failures. And leukemia, so crazy.
Yeah.
And okay, do we need to play a trailer, Lindsay?
Yes, we do. And as a matter of fact, we're going to play our communism series trailer.
Nice.
And one of our Rise TV subscribers, a kinder Selena, said that she used that series for a reference for her college papers because it was so well done. So thank you to Selena.
Great.
That's thank awesome. You, Selena. All right.
150 years in the making. The ultimate evil specter. Lies, hatred, and struggle. Traditions destroyed. The Deep State's cult, communism.
Well, hey, and please, if you're listening through podcast, leave us a 5-star rating and review so we can reach even more people. And for those of you at home, if you're watching right now and you don't know what Falun Gong is, because most of what this guy Jiang Zemin did who died was persecuting Falun Gong in China. It was a spiritual movement based on truth, compassion, and tolerance. These people were just doing exercises and practicing Qigong to improve their bodies, minds, and spirits. About 100 million people started practicing in less than 10 years. Lots of people had miraculous recoveries from all kinds of illnesses and all kinds of things. It was improving people's morale and in the workplace and in their home. It was reintroducing the Chinese culture, the forbidden Chinese culture, the true Chinese culture back into China. And Jiang Zemin in 1999, 10 years after the Tiananmen massacre, just all out persecution of Falun Dafa. So many people's lives were affected. And, and this guy was really the sole person responsible for that called the shot on having that happen, just, you know, really to make a communist point about people following communism and not having their own minds about things. And, you know, I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
Well, Matt. Yeah, what I was going to say is, you know, this brings, there's a lot of people that ask like, did he persecute this? Like, what was his really true motive? And honestly, his own true motive was that this, and it sounds insane, but it's just this burning hatred of jealousy that it was towards the group and towards the founder, Li Hongzhi, who founded Falun Gong. And
you know, it's like those things are built into his psyche, right?
Yeah.
So even a political opponent, he would have been madly jealous of or anything, but he just decided to target this group, it seems.
That was it. I mean, it's just so insane. He was so insanely jealous that he's like, I'm going to destroy all these people. And millions of people, tens of millions of people were affected by this. Really, now it's getting into the 100 millions, including everyone all over the world who practices who got affected by it. But yeah, it's really weird. And honestly, that is like the motive behind it. And that's coming from the official Falun Gong source. I think it's the falluninfo.net that talks about it. But
all right.
Why don't we talk? So you guys, we actually have a video that we made. I think it was last year on our prophecies. We had a whole prophecy series, and I thought it'd be cool to show part of this because I was like, we could talk about it right now. And I was like, dude, we might as well just show this because it was done so well. But we're a little younger there, but. Where I just shaved. That was
so
it.
Trim.
I just shaved. Yeah. That was really the main thing going on. And my glasses are different.
The beardless wonders, we should call those.
Beardless wonders, yeah. But so this really gets into prophecies and revelation. You know, it's so weird. We say revelations here, so that's like the whole Mandela effect. It's really crazy. But we keep calling it that revelations. I'm like, I remember revelations. It sounds weird when I say revelation,
right?
But that's a whole other thing with the Mandela effect there. But no, we use revelation and talk about how it relates to China and specifically Zhang and why he could be the Antichrist, at least one of them mentioned in the Bible.
I remember that. It wasn't the Bible though, was it a prophecy?
No, it was the Bible.
What?
Yeah. Oh, we're gonna get into it right here.
Well then,
which event could be? But let us continue breaking down the rest of this. Now, the red dragon, from our understanding, is China.
Yeah, during the start of the persecution of Falun Gong, Zhang Zemin, who we'll get back here to shortly, was the party leader, and there were seven heads in control during that time. They were all vicious officials who went along with Zhang's order to kill Falun Gong practitioners, carrying out the persecution against Christians, along with other minority groups. In Revelations 13:1, it says,
the dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name.
What is interesting is that Zhang Zemin was born in the city of Shanghai, where he also began his political career. Shanghai in Chinese literally means rise from the sea.
Dang. Well, continuing on from 13:2, it says,
now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And to it the dragon gave his power, and his throne, and great authority.
In literary circles, the old communist bloc has often been nicknamed a leopard. The grizzly bear was the mascot of the Soviet Union. Thus, having the feet of a bear and skin of a leopard symbolizes the beast walking down the same path as the old communists. Zhang's zodiac sign is the Leo, which is the lion. So it could mean that he is of the lion praising communism that rose out of the sea.
But there's more to this. The part where it says, and to the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority, this could mean that the Red Dragon, or the CCP in this case, allowed Zhang to rise to power and become the leader of China. Then in 13:3 and 4, it says,
one of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast, and They worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who can fight against it?"
So this could reference a time in 1999 when the Minister of Propaganda, Ding Guanggen, temporarily retreated from politics due to illness and disagreements with Jiang Zemin over economic reforms. For a while, it looked like his career would be over, but Ding ended up returning as a member of the Politburo and vice head of the 610 office, which was the Chinese Gestapo, for carrying out the persecution and organ harvesting of Falun Gong specifically. After opening up the Chinese economy, quote, "All the world marveled and followed the beast." Thanks to Bill Clinton, who made an agreement with Jiang Zemin as China entered the World Trade Organization and completely took all the world's markets in a matter of years. In 13:5-7, it says,
"And the beast was given a mouth, uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them."
This is actually the part that makes us believe that Zhang is truly one of the antichrists that the Bible speaks of. On June 13, 1999, the Central Committee issued an official document pressed by Zhang, which ordered all of the CCP's departments throughout China to engage in combat with Falun Gong. In the days that followed, the CCP's propaganda machine began with the preparations for a full-blown nationwide hate campaign against Falun Gong and all that it represents: truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance.
Why are you going to go after these people? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So exactly 42 months later, on the dot, on November 15th, 2002, during the 16th Party Congress of the CCP, Zhang resigned as the party secretary. Now, for Zhang, it meant the end of his authority over the CCP's propaganda machine. Now, could this just be a coincidence? Maybe, but it is super eerie that this was exactly 42 months later, as the Bible mentions. Also, the persecution of the Christians became extremely intense during this time in China.
This is now where Revelations mentioned the second beast rising out of the earth with two horns like a lamb.
Man. Wow. Like, you and I do a lot of shows, so I don't always remember everything in all of them, but like, yeah, just, that was a blast from the past, and like, I forgot how insane that was.
Yeah, that was the one I was doing a lot of research on, and which episode
was that?
That was our
five or six
prophecies episode.
Okay, yes.
That one was never published publicly. We only have it on our platform on rise.tv. And that's the one that we get into. It talks about the virgin and the moon is at her at the feet, and the crown on her head, and it's actually the constellation, the Virgo constellation, and then how the moon was there, and then Jupiter, the king planet, was like right above the crown of her head. In the constellation, and this happened in 2017. And so it's really significant because it's exactly how the Bible describes it in Revelation as well. So all of that we get into in these prophecies. And we, even though we have it, I think we came out with it in 2021. I think we published it last year, or maybe 2020. I mean, we didn't really talk about, like, one of those is like prophecies of 2019. That was like, we wrote that in 2018, and it's like, here's all the prophecies of 2019. This one wasn't like a specific date. It was just, okay, here's kind of prophecies for the end times, which we believe we're in the end times, but you know, it's not like you said.
Shrugging guy.
Here we go. Always the shrugging guy.
That shrugging guy was like, he said that Ben's like, "We're in the end of times," and the shrugging guy was like, "It was perfect timing."
We put him in our holiday commercial this year too. So if anybody would like to see him,
I think that's an annual thing now.
That's right.
Yeah,
that is definitely.
It'd be really nice to reach out to the actual shrugging guy and just be like, "Come on the show, let's talk." I'd literally, the show would be like this. How do you do what you do?
Tell me.
He's somewhere in the UK. There's another video of him, and I'm like, dude, doesn't
guy he... from the United Kingdom. Is that true?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because it's like from Shutterstock. It's just a stock.
Maybe he's Irish or Scottish. He doesn't look like British, you know?
He could be Irish or something.
All there's right. A lot of engine we weren't supposed to have.
It's so funny, though. It really is. It's hilarious.
Well, wow. Great research there, Ben, on the revelations and the parallels to what's going on in China. I mean, gosh. You know, we really materialize that. I mean, there's been different episodes we've done where we found things that point to that, but to really show through the symbolism like you did there was just mind-blowing. My mind was blown.
We did. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it really is. And you know, there was some things that I even kind of forgot about, such as the water Shanghai and, you know, out from the sea. And, you know, because when... Well, I forget who it was in the, was it Matthew that was having the visions in Revelation?
Gosh, I can't remember. Many. No. Who was it? Matthew? I think that was John or
John. Something. Dude, I should know this.
I should too.
I think it was John. Well, anyway, the point is, it's like, you're seeing these things and you're writing it down, you know, and in the Bible, and the last thing it says in Revelation is like, anyone who changes these words, you know, death will become.
Yeah. In the vision, John saw the Holy Spirit.
It was John. Yeah.
I thought it was John.
Everyone in the chat is like, John. Yeah. So it's John. So yeah, it's just really interesting because, you know, I think that we think, because we're in the West right now, we do have a tendency to think of West. Now we do get into that later because it does go into almost like it changes into somebody else. And there's a lot of connections to a former president that I'm not going to name that we actually get into because there is some things related around birth dates and numbers, and that it's also in that episode. And it's not, we're trying to call anyone out. It's just like, this is,
it's just what it says.
It's just what it says. And it relates to like the number 666. So, you know, that's kind of weird in itself, but anyway,
Ben, I watched our moon episode over the first one over the last couple of days. I watched it twice, actually, because I was like, wow, you know, it was like really rich with information. There was a part where we were talking about, you know, 108.
And 108.
And specifically, like when it says that when Jesus was being persecuted, when he was being crucified, he received 6,666 lashes.
That was it.
And 108 of those were to his belly.
That was it. Yes.
Or to his stomach or whatever.
Yeah.
Area.
So for, and then there's 108 beads on a Buddhist.
Yeah. So many things. And actually, Ben, it's what's weird is it crosses Buddhism and Christianity. And I think it was the Epistle of Saint, I can't remember. Lindsay, help me out. Saint John or something. Epistle of Saint something. It was all about doing good works. It might've been Saint James, but I can't remember. Anyway. 108 verses. Yeah, 108. Many kung fu forms. 108 kung fu forms. Just so many examples of that.
That's true. And for those of you who are wondering why we're talking about 108 with related to the moon, so if between the moon and the Earth, it fits. Is it
moons? 108 moons.
108 moons. Perfectly. Yeah. 108 moons lined up between Earth and the moon.
Well, and if you put the Earth side by side 108 times in the sun, it would be the entire width of the sun.
That's right.
And then there are 108 suns between the sun and the Earth. What the heck?
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I don't remember that one at all. That's crazy.
I just watched it on an Edge of Wonder episode. Ben, we did good research.
Yeah, man.
I just can't remember all of it.
Like someone was asking me the other day, like, how many episodes have you done? I'm like, dude, we've probably done 400.
Oh, yeah, at least.
Easily.
I think it's more than 400, Ben.
Probably is more. Yeah. So sometimes, like, we've done so many episodes that sometimes I'm just like, oh yeah, we did an episode on that. Oh my gosh, I forgot. I can't even remember like all the facts in it, you know? And I'm like looking at old scripts sometimes like, oh wow, this is crazy. So,
well, and then there's other weird things with 108. Like, I brought this up to Lindsay earlier today, and I think she mentioned that the angle of a pentagon, like the Pentagon, the angle of that is 108 degrees. Like if you look at a pentagon,
well, you can go further than that too. I mean, it's basically a upside down star with the ends, the triangles cut off.
What? Say that again.
Yeah, pull that up. Pull the pentagon. Pull a pentagon picture up. Remember? So
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So if you add the stars, well, it's a star. I guess depending on how you look at it, if it's upside down or not. But that's exactly what it is. It's a pentagon. Really like a pentagram. Yep, it's literally the pentagram with the triangles cut off.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I was trying to understand what you meant by that. But yeah, so if you connect the dots, right? Sure, okay.
Yeah, if you connect the dot, if you added those extra things to it, you know, it makes me wonder if that's underground.
If that's underground.
It's like, so we're seeing the Pentagon, right?
Yeah.
Which is still weird that it's called Pentagon, but I'm wondering underground if it finishes it off, like if they actually have these like, like underground sections that if you were to like remove it all thing, it would actually look like a big star, you know?
I think there's a lot of people that are scared of the Pentagon because they think it's used for witchcraft and stuff. But like the way I look at it is like all like
pentagram.
Pentagram.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, there's different.
Well, I just think that like all of that stuff is divine mathematics and it just gets hijacked by bad guys who want to do exactly stuff. It. Right.
Yeah.
Or like, I agree. Wanna, like, do some like low level magic stuff, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well, and that's when the whole reversal aspect, which is directly related to Satanism. That's why Lucifer has the upside down star.
He even turned the star upside down.
Then it's
can't get anything upright, you know.
Seriously.
Think about it. It's the star that fell, and he's like the morning star. That's what Lucifer calls himself. It's weird.
That's why it's upside down. Fell. And then there's the other aspect to it too. The Thelema. That's part of Thelema. It's like a triangle.
Oh, yeah, that. You know, but that was six, isn't it? I think that was six.
I'm not sure. Okay. We need to play another trailer, and when we get back, we'll start talking about more about Jong and all the weird things.
What's this trailer going to be on?
We're about to see Shrugging Guy in our holiday promo.
Excellent.
Our inflation, cow farts, pandemics, pizza with pineapple, and the rise of AI, the truth about the moon landing, gas prices, and hollow earth theories keeping you up at night? Not anymore. Let your cares melt away with our unique patented streaming platform, Rise.tv. For the special holiday price of $7 a month. In just minutes, you can get access to the platform that's changing a nation. No agendas. No censorship. No anger and targeting people. Amazing and inspiring shows like Edge of Wonder.
This episode may have some of the strangest information we found yet.
Man in America.
Geopolitics, history, but also faith and where we are at this time in history.
And Chronicles of a Psychic Spy.
We work outside the construct of the physical to know things that otherwise can't be known.
All just oozing with entertainment.
The Hot Pepper Chip Challenge.
We will give you a place to not only hear the truth, but also be uplifted and entertained.
Cheers.
And you'll have a community to share it with. Don't miss this special offer.
Oh, the powder goes down your throat.
For the holidays, our yearly subscription is more than 25% off. That's just $7 a month.
What a steal!
Oh, the shrugging guy. Makes all your problems and your worries go away.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So, well, okay. We have all these.
Oh, so anyway, you guys, for existing subscribers who just saw that, you can upgrade directly from your account section when logged in under upgrade subscription. So if you want to take part in that, feel free and upgrade.
Nice. All right. So, well, excuse me. I think the really interesting thing is, so Zhang, going back to Zhang there, when they had the funeral, there was a lot of rumors about a silent protest, meaning like all these people were going to show up to like mourn, but instead they were actually going to be protesting. But I don't think that actually happened. I think that Xi Jinping kind of had everything kind of on, or somebody, I don't know if it was Xi Jinping, but somebody had everything on lockdown. So
they would have had that on lockdown, I think.
Yeah, it didn't really sound like that was the case. And man, it's so weird though. A lot of like political commentators, a lot of people on Twitter, just so many people are just like, oh, this is so sad. Like even on YouTube, there's all these like Chinese comments on all these posts about flooded about Jiang Zemin. And it's just like, man, it's so strange. But of course, Jiang Zemin, along with the 610 office, also created the 50 Cent Army. And those are the ones that went after us.
When not we're the rapper, the army in China that costs 50 cents every time they get 50 cents every time they comment.
He should sue the party. Be like, man, these are my followers. This is what I would be calling them. And China took the name. And instead it's like,
that should be, he's like, that should be my army. And they should be commenting for me.
Seriously. So for the, yeah. So the 610 army, or I'm sorry, 610 office, and then the 50 cent army. The 50 cent army is for every comment they leave, they get 50 cents on anything that's pro CCP. So
do you think about how lame you have to be to hire people to say positive things about you and give them 50 cents? Like, it's really funny, actually. Like,
it actually is.
It's so
you have to pay people to say positive things about
you. Yeah.
Then you got a problem.
Yeah, here it is. The Chinese government fakes nearly 450 million social media comments a year. This is why.
Yep, that's exactly it. That's why
been going on for a while.
Twitter was flooded with it. So that's one of the things that Elon is probably going to go after too.
What? Yeah, like if you guys want to see more content on China, one of our friends has a show specifically on China. What's the name of man? Why am I drawing a blank here?
That's not crazy. Oh wow!
China Uncensored. Thank you.
China Uncensored.
China Uncensored. You guys should watch.
Yeah, I was going to bring him up earlier too.
Oh, yeah, he's keeping up on all of this stuff. So it's, if you guys want to laugh and you want to hear about what's going on there, you can watch his show.
Oh, wow. Rapanok just gave us 50 bucks.
Hey, thanks so much. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you. So, yeah, good. China Uncensored. Yeah. Seriously, you guys, Chris Chappell, he's great at really breaking a lot of things down. And actually, New York Times, the Epoch Times, not New York Times. They had, you know, when Zhang died, what they wrote was, quote, his legacy stands as one of the worst human rights abusers in history, responsible for countless deaths over his lead role in launching the persecution against Falun Gong in 1999. So Yeah, seriously, this guy's going to end up becoming the Hitler of our times for sure. It's just that a lot of it's being suppressed, which is why, you know, we don't know about it right now. But imagine like this comes out and 2, 3, 5, 10 million people like under his watch have died under this. Like, this is going to explode open once people learn the truth, once it really comes out and people, you know, the whole world sees this and how many people were killed. And like I said, it's going to be more than what Hitler even did. Because think how many people are in China, over a billion people in China, 1.3 billion, I think. So many people have been affected by this. And once the world knows, and I think honestly, this might be why Xi Jinping, because it's like, from what we know, he's never really been directly involved in the persecution, and he has been arresting people, Chinese officials that were kind of taking part, like we said on Tuesday. But now this is like his chance, but I don't know. I'm kind of like skeptical on him even doing anything, like you said earlier, because he doesn't want to end the party. He doesn't want to end his control. And if he were to do that, I think he might be afraid that the whole world would come after the CCP. And at that point it would collapse. So that's why I'm wondering, you know, but also we don't know what kind of mechanisms are in place, under Zhang. So for example, I have a feeling that Zhang probably wasn't really very active in the last couple of years. So his sons, you know, who are just as corrupt. And by the way, his sons have direct ties to the Wuhan University and the Wuhan lab in Wuhan. They're all completely tied to that in every single business, basically in Shanghai, and they huge mafia organization aspect of this. They may be taken over behind the scenes for a lot of what Jiang was doing. Yeah. And a lot of people in Xi's, his group, a lot of those people were still Jiang sympathizers. So it's another aspect to this. But did you want to say anything about that, Rob?
No, I'm just listening.
All right.
You're a fascinating guy, Ben.
Well, so are you, Rob. All right. Well, there's been a lot. It's really weird because I think that even though Xi Jinping has been trying to crack down on the protests, there's still a lot going on. And with TikTok,
you know, there's also, you know, where there's also a lot going on, your t-shirt.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. It's like
a smorgasbord of the 90s.
This is actually called something, this design. I can't remember.
By the end of the show, I'm going to be calling you AC Slater, but
but that has a very specific word for it, and I can't think of it on top of my head. Someone in the show.
90s madness. It's kind of like the 90s Doritos.
It's like there's
there he is, AC Slater.
No, there's like a, it's somebody's name. I didn't even know it had a name until kind of recently. And I was looking for it on a certain pattern and I found out that it actually had a name. I'm like, that has a name? It's weird. That's funny.
You know what? Maybe we need to have a show just about 80s and 90s patterns.
Yeah, we could do that.
And we need to expose the truth about it. Where did the Doritos come from? I can't totally answer that. And I think it made its start in the 90s, but it, I mean, in the 80s, but it, you know.
I got it. It's the pyramid triangle shape. That's all it. No,
I like my Dorito theory a little bit more, but you're probably.
I have no idea. Honestly, I kind of doubt that, but I think it's just because it's easier to eat that way.
Welcome to Edge of Wonder, where we can go on a tangent for 3 minutes about the 90s Dorito pattern.
And somehow relate it back to the Illuminati.
And then we'll start talking about the Antichrist.
Well, did you see the ingredients in Doritos? I don't know. Maybe it's working with Big Pharma and trying to keep it safe. Oh, man. I have no idea. All I know is I don't really like to eat Doritos much anymore.
But... Oh, no, don't even remind me.
I loved Doritos before I found all of that out.
I know. I used to eat it all the time as a kid. Like, great stuff. All right. Well, we still have to get into all the things about Zhang, although I was kind of thinking that we could use that on Rise TV. And there's also a lot. There's like a big report that came out about it on TikTok, actually.
Oh, about the about Jiang Zemin? Or?
Well, about China specifically.
All the protests and stuff?
Well, so actually, Lindsay, why don't you pull this up while we're still on Rumble? Forbes had a really pretty amazing investigation over TikTok, and what they found, actually, this is kind of a summary of the article. There's a lot in this article, a whole lot in this article. Forbes discovered, so the headline is, on TikTok, Chinese state media pushes divisive videos about U.S. politicians. So in a nutshell, Forbes discovered TikTok accounts controlled by Chinese state media that accumulated tens of millions of views before the midterm elections on videos that often criticized specific politicians and sought to undermine trust in American institutions. So what there was a company called Media Links, and it would basically have, like, if you scroll down a little bit, Lindsay, it had some examples in this article, like those. You can't play them, but it just shows some examples of this. And it would show either a politician or somebody talking about a politician on supposedly what they said. And then at the end of it, it would say material distributed by Media Links TV LLC on behalf of CCTV. Well, most people watching TikTok would have no idea what CCTV is. Most people think it's like the personal camera stuff, because it's also called CCTV, but it actually stands for Chinese, something like Chinese cable TV or something like that. Mm. And the CCTV is the state-run TV media in China. So they had all of these accounts that were kind of like third party. Well, they were directly involved, but they looked like they were third party. Also, some of them even mentioned the DOJ. It was like, for more information, you could go to the DOJ for this. And actually, it was kind of fake. It was all run by, there was like three Chinese media companies that were all running these TikTok things. And because TikTok is China, they were being pushed on purpose. Like, these weren't just like, it caught trends. TikTok was deliberately pushing these videos on purpose. They were able to do that, and it was interfering in the elections.
Well, there was other things, I think, on TikTok too, like the elections themselves, like the election. I don't know what it was, but like, no one was getting views during that time. Like, it was like TikTok was just like acting strange. Like, you'd post a video. Yeah. I'll give you a perfect example. You remember that you saw the video that I did about the AI, the weird AI urban legend, the Loeb or whatever, Loeb?
Mm-hmm.
Posted it on TikTok a couple months ago, got 5,000 views, which is very weird. Like, usually content like that spreads a lot. As soon as, like, maybe a week ago or something, it all of a sudden got 45,000 views. 45, like, all of a sudden.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, so something, you know,
something changed.
Yeah, that's different. Like, and it was content I posted a month or two ago, right? So
most likely it was the I think they were really pushing all the stuff for the elections.
Well, and we know that TikTok is controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. So what we don't know what they were doing, or
exactly. There you are.
So you can scroll down. Oh, it's that one.
They're marking it sensitive content.
Well, it's because the images of the woman are like kind of creepy, right? So, but it's still getting a lot of views. So I don't know.
Yeah. And there was a state recently that mandated that anybody working in government or federal or whatever in that state can't have TikTok on their phones. So yeah, it's really interesting. And supposedly they're even according to that Forbes article, they're negotiating a contract with the U.S. government, something about nationals, like to mitigate national security threats posed by its foreign ownership. So
Yeah, that's what that's about.
Yep. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So it really, and then it mentions interfering with the Russia stuff in the Ukraine and all kinds of things. So, you know, this is why it's like some people are out there like, well, what does it matter if they're getting this data anyway? It's not like I do anything, right? But it's like, it's everything. They want to push, you know, they want to have you think in a certain way and push these things on you. And, you know, it's just like, this is how all of it is persuading a lot of people. And, you know, even Elon came out the other day saying that he has evidence that Twitter was being used for election fraud. I think he actually used the word election fraud.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. He says he has solid evidence about it because now that he's seeing it. So a lot of articles are coming out now about this, like him talking about it. But all right, we're going to have to get ready to leave Rumble here and get more into that was everything cool. about Jiang Zemin that we didn't get into, actually, all the corruption. We were talking about everything else, but there's a lot. There's actually a lot. The big one, though, is really how his father was a traitor, and his father was part of the he worked for the Japanese during their occupation of China, which resulted in 10 million deaths. And so he sold out his own people and let his own Chinese people die to save himself. And so Zhang said that he was actually the son of his uncle, who was more like a Chinese martyr at the time, because he was like promoted by the CCP. So it's like, well, I'm going to be his son and not his son. And that's the thing that Zhang really changed. So, but there's so much more. So we'll get into more of that on Rise TV.
Well, all right, you guys, we're about to leave Rumble and head over to Rise.tv, where we'll keep talking about Jiang Zemin, the Chinese Communist Party's secret plots they don't want you to know about, and we'll also answer your questions during the live Q&A. So join us on Rise TV. If you can support us for just $9.99 a month, if you can find it in your heart, and support our work. Don't forget that your support lets us keep doing all of this great stuff that we do. You saw some of our older episodes in there. We'd love to keep bringing all of that to you guys. And, you know, we're trying to bring you guys the truth that the world sorely needs. So now check out this trailer for our episode about Cthulhu and the Kraken, part of a larger series on cryptids of the seas. And episode 6 is about the Leviathan and sea monsters. And that actually comes out tonight. So then after that, you can join us on Rise.tv.
Seafaring voyagers traverse the vast seas, sailing for distant lands, lost treasure, ferocious sea beasts, and new worlds beyond the old. But what if their searches across the ocean surface miss truths that lie much deeper? What secrets hide in the Bermuda Triangle? Why do octopuses exhibit an ethereal intelligence we can't quite explain? Are sightings of the Kraken and giant squids more than mere stories? Some creatures have been found to not just survive, but to thrive at depths and conditions we never thought possible. Which begs the question, what has been written off in history as imaginings or myths that may actually be pointing to other dimensions, alien worlds, or fantastic beings that aren't supposed to exist? Join Edge of Wonder for a deep dive into the cryptids of the abyss.
Cool.